There's a thousand further women waiting out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Katz with the Dish. This is John Katzalamidis. I write the Katz Report in the Las Vegas Sun, Las Vegas Weekly. I write for all the titles in Greenspun Media Group, including The Sunday, the news magazine that comes out on the Sunday, except when it comes out on the Saturday and sometimes on the Monday. But it's called the Sunday, and it comes out Sunday, so look for that everywhere. And I also write for Vegas Magazine. Joining me as I fly solo this week with Trisha in Montana with her family, who includes Wayne Newton, is the man who fronts Frank the Man the Music, which is closing out tomorrow night at the Palazzo Theater at the Palazzo. He is the great vocal interpreter and wonderful person, Bob Anderson. Bob, thanks for being here.
Boy, oh boy, you got a lot of things you write there for the Greenspun Media Group,
I know.
Don't you?
It's funny because I only know about 400 words total.
Wow, John, that was a lot you do.
I've spent a lot on you, my friend.
Well, hey, listen.
I've written about you in a few
I know you have. Thank you so much for having me here.
Yeah, thanks for coming down. And it's always a pleasure to spend any kind of time with you, whether it's in a studio or the theater or at the restaurant at Silverton or wherever it might be.
Yeah, those are memories. Yeah, that's a great one.
That was part of the scene. So we are, as we record, as this show airs on a Friday night tonight, tomorrow night, Saturday, the 28th, is the last show for Frank the Man the Music. Why is the show closing?
Well, that's a very good question. I mean, why is it closing at the time that it's closing?
Tell me about the timing of the closing.
Okay, that's the whole thing there. Mm-hmm. It was a total surprise to me because when we said from the beginning, I always said that I only wanted to stay here 1 year because I want to travel. I don't really want to be like, you know, I don't want to take up a residency like in a hotel if it were offered to me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take this show all over, travel with it.
Yes.
But so I said I'd stay here for a year. Well, I almost made it, and then he cut me like 2 weeks short.
Yeah, the opening date for Frank the Man Music was like December 14th of last year, is that
That's
it?
Right. Okay. No, yeah, exactly.
So around in there.
Yes.
And the key moment in this whole thing, as the Frank Sinatra fans and even casual Frank Sinatra fans know, is December 12th.
Exactly.
Frank Sinatra's 100th birthday. Now, why are we not making it
to
the tape here?
Well, it's really amazing because as you've seen my show a number of times, mm-hmm. It's really based around, I mean, I talk about that a few times through the show, and mm-hmm. and that's why I brought the show back, you know, to celebrate his centennial, the 100th birthday. Anyway.
It was re-signed in the summer. It was extended, your contract.
Yes, yes, and they extended it every 3 months. It kept going every 3 months, they'd extend it. Well, it was already extended again, but this time here they stopped it at, it would have gone through December 31st. I was planning on being here for New Year's Eve.
Okay.
And we had already talked about doing the Sinatra affair the evening of his birthday as a black tie affair. Mm-hmm. And we already had some people invited and stuff. But frankly, what happened, I didn't know what happened. I finally called somebody at the hotel and they sent me an email back and said, yeah, Bob, you close November 28th. So I said,
somebody in the executive office?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So I'm glad. Here's the thing about it. You know, I think that it was, like I said, I was only going to go a year. We were going to go another couple of weeks anyway. Mm-hmm. Why they cut it short is what I was told was that they're going to remodel the stage because they have another show coming in there and they need to tear out some of the stage because, as you know, the Jersey Boys were mm-hmm. were in there before.
That was their first home.
They had to put a riser on, an 18-inch riser on the stage in that theater for something to carry something for the Jersey Boys in their show. And they did that. And in the beginning, we were going to have it taken off, but they said it was going to take quite a while to do that and very costly to do it. So we did our show with the stage with that 18-inch rise on it. But now I guess a new show that's coming in decided, no, we can't do ours with that. And it needs to come off. And the show's going to start in January. And they said they needed the extra time. Now, having said that, you know, that's cool and everything. Listen, I wouldn't say anything negative about the Venetian Palazzo, anything and what they've done with me. It's been a wonderful trip. Everybody over there has treated me and our whole show just fantastic. I couldn't ask for more. It was really great. And I look forward to coming back and working at times with them. But if you want to go back to the, it's like I read in your column too, and I just talked to Tony Bennett again about this, what he said, that he couldn't figure it out, you know, why they would cut this off.
Tony Bennett told me that a few days ago on the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I asked him about you, and he'd seen the show.
Yeah.
And we went through the whole thing. And we didn't, he said to me, as you were saying, he didn't understand why they couldn't extend for two more weeks.
Well, he said, well, first of all, there's a number of reasons why they should have. This could have been the biggest affair that brought high rollers in from all over the world. It's Frank Sinatra's 100th birthday, big celebration. This is where he started here, Sands Hotel. We are the Sands Incorporated. Copa Room used to sit here. All of those reasons. And they would have brought him in, and they maybe would have dropped 10 or 20 million on the tables that night. But instead, they weren't thinking that way because they don't think that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
if it's a separate thing. The tables don't have anything to do with the coffee shop, and the coffee shop doesn't yeah. care about the upstairs either.
It's kind of ironic because the person who helped generate the identity and reputation of Las Vegas as the entertainment capital of the world was Frank Sinatra.
Absolutely.
And his show that there's a tribute to him is being undercut by the very thing that is running in the face of the entertainment capital of the world, and that is the corporate bean counters.
Exactly. And it's crazy, John, too, because I don't believe that I was told that Mr. Adelson didn't even know that it was taking place. Mm-hmm. He didn't know anything about it, the way they did this. And the new president of the hotel, you know, all the shows are going out. He's bringing one in that he saw and he likes. And
do you know what that one is? I keep hearing you know about this mythic show.
Yeah, but. I don't even know how to pronounce it. It's something, but it's like, you know, I think it has something to do with Cirque. Hmm. But what they're doing in the theater is they're eliminating every other row of seats because part of the show is that the people in it come down between the seats mm-hmm. and the people.
It's Cirque-like, you know, but not a Cirque du Soleil specific show.
Right. Yeah,
and that flavor.
Yeah, it's going to be something like probably a child's Disney show mm-hmm. or something.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm kidding. I don't know what it's going to be. but anyway, that's what they're doing. So we're out of there. And but John, it's been a tremendous run.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, somebody just asked me the other, just last night. They said I was doing an interview for a radio spot in New Jersey, and I was talking with them. And they said, Bob, what was the highlight of your career? Can you think of the highlight? And I would honestly say that this engagement at the Palazzo was the highlight of my career.
Of your whole career?
I would say that because it was a year, John, running in the main showroom of the biggest resort in the world with a 32-piece orchestra.
On stage.
Doing Frank Sinatra on stage mm-hmm. every night for a solid year. The rush that I get when I go out there, I mean, it's really, as much as I'm used to it, and I don't say a rush, but I mean, you do get an adrenaline thing with that orchestra. It starts kicking off. And mm-hmm. every night when I go backstage and I'm standing there and the overture starts, I mean, I really feel, you know, you really get a different feeling. And, you turn into the character. You turn into Sinatra, I do. And that's why I tell it at the end of the show how it happens for me. I get into makeup, I do this, and pretty soon I'm doing it. I become the guy and I'm starting to feel it. And I get upstairs. And when I get behind that drape, I see all those players that played with him, and I hear that
there are a number of them. I mean, I know we could take
17 of them that have played
at one point or another. Played with him more than half.
Yeah,
the
yeah,
orchestra.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And many played with him on long term, engagements. So it's really just a great. I would have to say that. You know, I mean, I've done the Tonight Show with Bob Hope and Muhammad Ali. Now that's a big one,
mm-hmm.
but that was a real big thing. The big deal I did at the Waldorf with Frank Sinatra. I did a tribute to Henry Kissinger, and he was the most living important diplomat in the world. So that was a big celebration. Kirk Douglas was the host. I did the Kennedy Center Awards. I've done things like that, but this here was really, and I think this engagement right here. It has done and will prove to do more for my career than anything I've ever done.
It's really put you back in the middle of the action
yes,
here in Las Vegas.
It really, and not only here, John, all over.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It has been. It has been quite a ride. We're going to take a quick break here, Bob, and do a little movie review action and come back. Up next here on Cats with a Dish, John Katzelmeetis with Bob Anderson, is Josh Bell and his movie reviews this week, which are The Good Dinosaur and Creed. We'll be back momentarily. Stick around. I know we will.
This is Mark Chinook from Rock of Ages, and you're listening to Cats with a Dish.
That's me. There's Libby. And Buck. And Mama. Family. Ah! You don't understand. That's okay.
That's Raymond Ochoa as the voice of Arlo, the title character in the animated feature The Good Dinosaur. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Pixar's long-in-the-works animated movie is gorgeous to look at, and it's solid, pleasurable entertainment for kids. But it's only slightly more sophisticated than the similarly themed Ice Age movies, with a straightforward story about a young dinosaur conquering his fears while on a quest through the wilderness. After facing peril from carnivores and battling the elements, Arlo learns to find his inner strength and stand up for himself. It's a simplistic story with a simplistic moral, although its characters are lovable. I give The Good Dinosaur 3 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is Creed, the latest movie featuring Sylvester Stallone as hardscrabble boxer Rocky Balboa.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about training me.
Training? I don't do that stuff no more.
Sorry about that. Listen, it's getting kind of late, kid, so I'm going to close up.
The retired Rocky reluctantly agrees to train the illegitimate son of his late friend and rival Apollo Creed, the young Adonis Creed, played by Michael B. Jordan. Not only is Creed a solid, rousing boxing drama, but it's also an unexpectedly affecting look at Rocky in his twilight years, with Stallone's best performance in a long time. Director and co-writer Ryan Coogler gracefully blends familiar elements of the Rocky franchise with a more contemporary look at a boxer's life. I give Creed 3.5 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Sitting with me still on Cats with a Dish is Bob Anderson, Frank the Man, the Music, which is closing down at the Palazzo Theatre on the Strip on Saturday night. You know, Bob, we've been talking about this intermittently, and you were kind enough to help me get in touch with Tony Bennett for a story that I'm writing that's going to be on the cover of the Las Vegas Weekly. And I'll ask you the same thing I asked him and Steve Lawrence and Steve Wynn and some of the other people who knew. These are people who we're all talking Sinatra right now. It's in my brain. What was it about Frank Sinatra? What set him apart? Because you've known and you've done the interpretations of many, many great singers, everyone from Bennett himself, Tom Jones, Dean Martin, Sammy. What sets Sinatra apart as a figure in that whole array of entertainers?
Well, you know, not only was it that he was as good as he was, but I think the perception and the aura that he created around him made the public believe that he was maybe bigger than everybody else was, and that's really now there are singers. You know, it's really hard, honestly, for me to say to you that, well, there's other singers that sing as well as Frank Sinatra. They are okay. There are certainly there are. I think Tony Bennett is got everything that Sinatra had. You know, other singers as well, but I'm not going to name all that. Mm-hmm. But
Lawrence, one of them.
Steve Lawrence, absolutely.
Of the living people.
Yeah. Absolutely. Jack Jones, Steve Lawrence, you know, people like that were just absolutely phenomenal. But the point is that Frank Sinatra, everything that was about him that was more than just his singing, his personality, his whole thing, made the perception of everybody to think that he was a couple of steps higher than everybody else was on the totem pole, and he may have been. John, somebody just sent me a DVD of Frank Sinatra in 1961 in Sydney, Australia. All right, he's 50 years old,
okay, right
at the time. Now
Frank was up there in the 60s. He was advanced in his career by the time he hit Las Vegas.
Oh my goodness, yes, and I sat up the other night and watched this, and the guy told me, He said, Bob, do not give this to anybody because then it will become worthless. But right now, there's only a dozen people that have this. And I have it. And I was so blown away by what I saw. Now, I've been studying videotapes of him, as I told you before. Mm-hmm. They were sent to me from London, New York, everybody while I prepared for the show.
Right.
This one here impressed me the most of anything I've ever seen.
You might have seen more footage and listened to more material of Frank Sinatra than anybody.
Yeah, for two years, every single day.
Especially recently.
Uh-huh. Yeah. 4 days a week, 2 hours a day for 2 years. Whew. Is what I worked on this project, just doing him every morning at 5:30 in the morning with a tuxedo on. But now, this guy sent me this thing. He was on stage, and his demeanor was such that it was in a round, but the orchestra, there were some things that the time was off. You know, there was this guy was off. Frank would stop the band and he would say, look, here's the tempo. Let's do it. Let me give it to you. And he would start it, bomb, 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 and he'd conduct the band, get it back going without losing, without showing any bit of that he was the slightest bit upset by that or anything.
Mm-hmm.
He just covered it so perfectly. And he sang so great, John. And he was singing Moonlight in Vermont. And he was singing all of these unbelievable songs. I just don't know what made him so much better other than just God blessed him with something that he really capitalized and used in his ability to entertain and certainly his vocal prowess was mm-hmm. just unbelievable.
It had more even than that, though, didn't it, than his vocal quality? Because as you mentioned just now, that there are a lot of great singers.
That's
there's
right.
a lot of great voices.
That's right.
There have been, there will be, there
but
are.
But John, here's the thing about that, what people don't understand. And I get this, because they don't have to. The listener doesn't have to. But they don't understand what the difference is between this guy doing a Sinatra over here in Cleveland and this one over here and everything. There's something to Sinatra that, see, you don't have to know how good Frank Sinatra was in order to like his music. All you have to do is just like his music. But you mm-hmm. don't really, the average listener, he doesn't have to know how good he was. They just say, wow, I really like Frank Sinatra.
That's a good song.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's a great song. Man, he did that. I love Frank Sinatra. But Frank Sinatra was so good in his phrasing and in his diction and intonation and his breathing and everything and the way he presented a song. I mean, he analyzed each phrase and said it in such a way that it was just unusual. It was just really great.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's why I had to study it so intensely and so long, because I knew what he did that other people don't know because they don't have any need to know.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew
they're not doing stage shows.
Yeah, they didn't know. It really took this. And now I get a lot of people that are coming up to me in the show in here, other people that do Sinatra and all this stuff, and they said, oh, Bob, man, wow, you really listened to him, man. I heard what you did there and that. Well, I listened to him long enough where and watched his videos long enough where I could see what his personality, how it would be projected and how it would come through for a certain song or what he was saying at that moment in the song. And that's what I deliver on the stage. I turn in, I get that personality thing. Every time it's consistent. If he's doing All the Way, his eyebrows come down, his shoulders go back, and his one hand goes mm-hmm. out. Well, every time he does that, Moonlight in Vermont, it's the same thing. And it's, if he's doing you know, if he's I've got you under my skin. All right, if he's doing that, or come fly with me, it's always the same personality
mm-hmm.
and his moves and stuff.
Yeah,
and it just took me a lot of intense studying to get it.
It's you. You've got to kind of choreograph yourself into doing something he did.
That's
second
right.
nature.
That's right.
A tricky thing.
Yeah, well, that's exactly because uh-huh. you're picking up something that
yeah.
he did,
and he's just doing what he's doing.
He's doing it. He could do it all. He was a great dancer. He was mm-hmm. a great everything.
He moved well. He acted.
He moved
great
well.
Actor.
Oh, yeah. Great effort.
Maybe that was it. You know, he's you know, as our friend Clint Holmes was uh-huh. taking acting lessons from Larry
sure.
Moss over the course of his career to
right.
help him inhabit songs. Sinatra mm-hmm. was that way too. He was not just singing. He was.
No, he was exactly that way. And what I do in this show, too, is that I don't do any show by rote, and you've heard me say that by mm-hmm. many times on stage. I just kind of step into his persona and go with it. And if you, because if I have to work at it, it won't work. You can't mm-hmm. work at it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to just, and it, you can't do caricature, or that isn't authentic Sinatra. Anything that anybody does in caricature, like all of the Rat Pack shows
yeah,
and things,
you know,
they take away from the authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I tried desperately not to do.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, we've had some good offers.
Tell me about that. You segued right into what I wanted to ask you about. What is the viability of this show outside of Las Vegas on Broadway? I've heard, you know, we've talked about it.
Yep.
I've heard about it. What's happening?
I have three major production companies, producers that have approached me now to take it to New York. And you know, do I have anything signed that I'm for right now? No, I do not. But I'm absolutely confident that that's where it's going. And we're going to go to Carnegie Hall because all three of them said, along with Tony Bennett and Paul Anka, you know, Tony Bennett said, you know, I really think that the show should be at Carnegie Hall. I really don't see, you know, you can do Broadway, but go to Carnegie Hall and make sure that I'm there when you're going to be there too. But we're going to take
a short run at Carnegie.
Yeah, no, like 3 or 4 days.
Three or four days.
And then they said, when you do that and while you're there, do all the TV shows and stuff. And the people that I'm working with right now can open up those doors very simply. And everybody's telling me, well, Bob, the birthday's going to be over. Here's the thing, folks, about the birthday. Everybody has a birthday and it's over. But that doesn't mean that you don't, you know, the person or did or does or exist. I think the birthday is only going to make more awareness mm-hmm. of Sinatra's work and who he was.
Yeah.
And from that point on, I'm going to pick it up again and take off and
take. Yeah, you can adjust that. And the key thing is to have the confidence in his legacy that it will carry beyond December 12th.
What do you?
That's what we're going to find out. I mean,
No question. Nobody was thinking about Frank Sinatra's birthday 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and his legacy is tremendous.
Yeah,
and it's just another birthday, another icing on the cake. And after that, it's going to make him more. Listen, he's the only guy that transcends every generation. Every generation.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, people stop me at times and they say, Bob, wait a minute, you say he's the most famous performer that ever lived and all this stuff, an iconic legend. What about Michael Jackson, they say? What about Elvis Presley? And that's a very simple thing to mm-hmm. answer. Michael Jackson was dead at 51 and Elvis at 42.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Sinatra was singing, you know, way beyond. And right now, if you listen to every place you go, radio stations, restaurants, or anywhere, you can't walk in without hearing Frank Sinatra mm-hmm. during your meal. Now, I love Elvis Presley, and I love Michael Jackson. I know how great they were. They were as good as Sinatra was or what they did. But the thing is, you don't ever hear Michael Jackson anymore. You don't ever hear Elvis Presley anymore unless you put on just Elvis Presley's station.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. And, you know, it's crazy. The people today in the generation of music that we're in, it's a now generation thing, and they're into themselves, they're into that, and they really don't care. They don't even know who Tom Jones was. Here's a guy with 29, you know, like number one songs in his career.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even know who he is. Nobody does. And it's, you know, he was just, they took him off of The Voice in England.
In England, yeah.
And replaced him with... I forgot who it was, but another rocker. And I believe that's the reason, because they wanted him to be able to relate to, when in fact, Tom Jones is one of the best rock singers that ever lived.
Yeah, he definitely, and he hasn't been in Las Vegas as far as I know, for about 7-8 years at least.
No, but if you go online, you know, right now, when you go online to book his shows right now, you'll see that he's sold out almost in every single tour, every date he has.
Huh, because he used to do Hollywood Theater a lot.
Yeah.
And Jim Grand.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you have, Bob, I've always wanted to know what your personal connection with Sinatra was. Do you have a favorite story about him?
I do. My favorite story, and Steve Wynn was there when it happened, too. they called me up. Frankie Randall used to be a great entertainer. Steve Wynn's, you knew him, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Wynn's, I'll make this real quick because I know we get short in time. He was Steve Wynn's entertainment director. Frankie called me and he said after Sammy Davis had passed, he died,
mm-hmm.
and they were coming into the Golden Nugget Atlantic City, and he came in with Dean Martin and Sarah Vaughan, and they came in. Frankie Randall said, "Bob, come on, we want the old man's going to be in the main room, and we want him to be able to come in, and he don't want to leave the hotel. He wants some good entertainment. He likes you. You be here." So I come in. Wednesday night, he doesn't come in. Thursday, he doesn't come in. Friday, he doesn't come in. Saturday, I'm sitting there so bummed out. All of a sudden, I look, and here comes this little ant pile through the casino. He walks by, squeezes my shoulders, and said, I wouldn't have missed this kid. And he goes and sits down at the front. And the room, John, sat 60 people, the most intimate, fabulous-sounding little lounge in the world. And he sat 3 feet from me while I did him and Tony Bennett and Dean and Sammy. And I did everybody. And Diana Ross was there and Johnny Mathis. And Steve Wynn, Elaine Wynn, all those mm-hmm. people were there. And Diana Ross, after I was done, she says, "Bobby, can you do Johnny?" And I looked at Johnny and Johnny, Johnny knows I did impressions of him before. So I looked at him. I said, "Hey, Johnny, I saw you in Mike Douglas 2 days ago. You did a Nancy Wilson tune called Over the Weekend." He says, "Yes, I did." And so I started it off, packing my grip and I'm taking a trip out of town over the weekend. He gets up, John, out of his chair and comes up and takes the mic and sings the whole song. And it was one of the greatest evenings of my life. And I went after with Frank Sinatra for breakfast. And we went to the restaurant, and it was just a great, thrilling experience.
Wow.
I worked with him 3 different times, and he's attended my show. Probably he's caught about 12 of my shows.
Wow. And how about a real quick one as we wrap up? Your favorite Vegas, outside of the one you're in now, favorite Vegas place to play?
Now, that was really tough because Caesar's Palace, the Circus Maximus, was absolutely one of the most beautiful places in the world. But the Desert Inn was absolutely tremendous. I worked the Copa Room of the Sands. Mm-hmm. I called a show called Salute to the Copa. I mean, how do you beat that? John, I've worked every single room in the town that there is. And I don't know. When you walk on the stage at Caesar's Palace and the Circus Maximus, there's a feeling that, you know, you just couldn't believe. And the sound, it was like you were in a recording studio. It was just so absolutely phenomenal. So it's going to have to be Caesar's Palace and Circus Maximus.
Which was taken out, pulled apart for the Colosseum.
Absolutely.
Celine and Elton.
But that's a pretty nice, that Colosseum, man.
They did well with it. If you have to take out Circus Maximus, you did a good job over there,
Caesar. That is a phenomenal place.
All right, Bob Anderson. Well, we're going to keep tracking you and the show and everything else you do. It's been a heck of a ride there at Palazzo Theater.
I'll come back a couple of weeks a year at a time, just like the rest of them do, but I'm taking this on the road.
All right. Well, when you're back, and maybe even on the road, I'll be seeing you.
I hope so, John. Right. Thank you so much for this.
Thank you back.